The dangers of spiritual complacency, being content, being comfortable with who you are. It says the church at Corinth that day was in disarray. They were in turmoil. They were in big trouble. The members quarreled about spiritual gifts. They wallowed in jealousy and they had sexual immorality that was just prevalent all around them. They sued each other in civil courts and they practiced gluttony and drunkenness at the Lord's table. Oh, what a mess that place was. But Paul offers to them and to us this day instructions by drawing a lesson from the past. Paul points back to the time that God brought the Hebrew people from slavery into freedom. During these wilderness wanderings, the people did much evil, bringing disaster upon themselves. He's talking to them about the days that they were with Moses and years past. The ancestors had done all these terrible things, all the things that happened. It says a great principle of human conduct is that every behavior has consequences. Everything we do has a consequence. We can blame it on someone else, which a lot of people like to do, passing the buck. They like to, well, if so-and-so hadn't done so-and-so, I wouldn't have done it. I hear that quite often. Well, it was so-and-so's fault. You know, they're the ones who's in charge, and they let it fall to pieces. You see, but when the Hebrews did evil, they created their own destruction. Evil deeds always destroy life. Paul says in so many words, take this lesson to heart. Don't suffer the painful consequences as your ancestors did, as our ancestors have done in the past. Please don't go down that road. Paul recounts for them God's saving deeds. God parted the sea. He guided them with a cloud of divine presence and sustained them with food and water. God blessed them through the pre-existent Christ. God has also blessed us today, the Christians, through the earthly person of Christ our Lord. We Christians have the waters of baptism. You see, God feeds us at the Lord's table on food and drink that nourish us into eternal life. Today we will come to the Lord's table to be sustained, to be fulfilled on the things for eternal life. You see, the Lord does that for not only those Christians there, but for us today. So with such blessings, how can we as God's children ever turn away from God? You'd think that everybody would just be following and running and serving Him. You see, our standard answer for this malady is sin. But something else may also be going on. Our problem may not be desiring evil, as Paul puts it in verse 6, as much as it is stifling indifference, an attitude of complacency. We're getting too comfortable in the way things are. We like things the way they are. We don't want to change. That's what it means, that we don't like change, so we like things to stay the way they are. We're comfortable. We don't get agitated. We don't have much feeling. We can come into a place week after week and nothing stirs us. Nothing makes us think. Nothing makes us weep. Nothing makes us want to go and do anything else. Nothing excites us. But I bet you one thing that can happen when you come in here each week, there's a crowd. Sometimes they're one, sometimes they're two. Guess what they can do? They can find what's wrong. Yes, they can. Because they come in this place with a heart that is not willing to open and serve. They find what is not going on right. They find that, you know, well, I don't like the looks of that, and I don't like so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said so-and-so, and did you see so-and-so in the choir, and did you see this, and I don't like that song we sung. And I mean, just on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I'm like, well, get over it. Sorry. You know, there's always something wrong. Because their spirit is not in the right place. They don't come in willing to serve, willing to come to the Lord's table. As someone told me this week, you know, we don't come into this place each and every week ready to sit at the Lord's table. And that's what we should do. When we come into the doors of this church, we sit ourselves in a pew. We are sitting ourselves at the Lord's table. We have come to the throne of grace, and we have come to this place with a heart and a mind that should be open and willing to hear Him, to listen, to see what it can do for us, to change us, to serve, to get involved, to do something, to stand and to sing the songs, to listen to the words of the prayers that are spoken, to the words of the scripture that is read, just so many things, the words of the songs that are sung, to allow it to touch you, to allow someone to make a comment or a compliment on something, and to feel you. When you come into the Lord's house ready to put your feet at the Lord's table, then you're ready to receive what He has for you. But when you come into this place ticked off because you had to come, if you're someone that somebody made you come, or somebody guilted you into coming, and you're sitting here feeling sorry for yourself and mad because I could be doing something else, or that you're thinking about what's going on later today, that you're not got your mind right here today, this morning, that you're worried about something else that's going on, and you're not thinking about it, when you let all those things go and come to this place, you have come to the Lord's table. We get too complacent in the places that we are. We get indifferent about who we are and whose we are. Think about this. There's a Gallup poll that's been put out in the past few years that found that 40% of Americans attend religious services fairly regularly, but fewer than 10% of us are deeply committed. And that would be pretty well the truth. Fewer than 10% are deeply committed. The majority of us appear to just drift along, satisfied with the way things are. Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. We're not going to bother it. Because if we do, we might upset somebody. Well, maybe we could do something to make it a little better to serve more people. That's where we need to go sometimes. We need to look at something else for the future. Many churches today are in no better shape than the church at Corinth was. Think about that. Many churches today are in no better shape than the Corinthian church. We're still quarreling. We're still suing each other. We're still chasing idols. And we're still practicing sexual immorality. It's alive and rampant in our world today. We're chasing idols. That could be anything. That could be anything that put in the place of serving the Lord. Drugs, alcohol, out partying, having a good time, running around acting like an idiot. Chasing an idol. Sometimes that could be things that's not that horrible. It could be maybe the almighty dollar. Boy, I've got to work, I've got to work, I've got to work, I've got to make money. I've got to have all those things. I've got to have a bigger house, a bigger car, a better car, a newer car, a boat, or whatever, I don't know. You know, all those things, a motorcycle, whatever. I've got to do these things, those things. We get upset and we sue each other. Our world tells us, we instead of trying to work something out, we sue. And we quarrel. We grumble. We bicker. We mutter. We mumble. And we wonder why things aren't happening. And we wonder why someone might have left. And we wonder why things are different. As a church, what it is we have to do is continue to be the church, continue to be consistent in serving. But you see, fortunately, Paul does not completely admonish them. He does a little bit more than tell them how bad they are. He closes this text in verse 13 with real words of grace. First, he says, "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone." We're all tested in this world. That is, testing or temptation is universal. It's always out there. The Lord is always at work, and guess what? The devil is right there also at work, testing and tempting. Testing doesn't signify divine judgment or disapproval. It's just the way of life. Wise people know how to gauge the test results and use them for their advantage. Fools don't. Second, God is faithful. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 100, verse 5, and in Psalm 118, verses 1 through 4, that His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. Unfortunately, we don't always take what God offers us. Someone has said that God has wonderful things to give us, but our hands are too full. You see, God has so many wonderful things to offer us, to give us, but our hands are full. They're full of the messiness of the world. They're full of garbage. They're full of idleness. They're full of stuff that we don't have room for Him. Thirdly, God will not let you be tested beyond your strength. Through testing, we mortals discover what is true and valuable and what is not. God and fool. In this world that we live in, there's all kinds of things that are going on. Think about the refiner's thing of gold and fool's gold. Gold and fool's gold, which is iron pyrite, is fool's gold, look very much the same. You couldn't tell them apart to the naked eye. Most people can't. But guess what happens? We test them in fire. When they are put in the refiner's place to test them, fire does not damage gold. It melts it. But iron pyrite sizzles and smells like sulfur. It stinks. Little of it survives. You see, the most important thing that we learn about ourselves are the things that we learn when we're put into the fire, when we are tested. When we are put to the fire, when we're tested. That's when we have our biggest lessons. Once one of the brother from the brothers Karamazov, this little word says, there's a new man in me, a new person being born in me. But that new life would not have risen in me if God had not sent the storm. If He hadn't sent the trouble my way, I would have not known what kind of person that I am. There's been a new person born within me, one that has come to the top. But if God had not sent the storm, I would have not have known what kind of person I am. You see, good things can happen to us in times of testing. We discover what's true and valuable and what is not. And we become stronger. Without that strength, where would we be? Paul addresses us today. He addresses the church at Corinth, and he addresses you and me. Thankfully, we don't have to go through life cursing every bump in the road. We'll all have trouble, and we don't have to worry about God's faithfulness. Oh no, we don't have to worry about that. Because if we diligently seek God's help, God will deliver us. God can even save us from our complacency. For this, we can only say, praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. We know, Lord, that there are dangers that we live in this world each and every day when we become complacent to Your will and Your way, when we become idle, when we don't understand anymore, when we have allowed our hearts to be hardened, when we've allowed the world to take over. We ask, Lord, this day that as we prepare ourselves to sit at Your table, to truly not only sit in the room, but to come to Your table, we ask, Lord, that You open up our hearts and our minds to truly serve You this day, to truly be a part of what it is You have called us to be. So, Lord, as we prepare our hearts this morning, allow us to come to the table. For it's in Your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number